But Saints, you have a sermon outline to follow along with me in your bulletins today. And as Pastor Toby already introduced, we are kicking off a brand new series, brand new start. And our series, our first series of 2012, is called Can I Trust God? Can I Trust God? And I'm going to be talking about Can I Trust God with my disappointments. And then Pastor Rick, I believe, is going to be talking about Can I Trust God with my money? And then Pastor Toby is going to be wrapping us up with Can I Trust God with my future? So we have a lot to talk about with trusting God, amen? Amen. So let us begin in prayer. Gracious God, you are good. You are awesome. You are amazing. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you for always being present with us, always loving us, always reminding us, Lord, that you are faithful. We ask your presence, your anointing, Holy Spirit, in this message, Lord, that everything that I would say and everything that I would do would be according to your will, your plan, and your purpose for all of our lives. Open our eyes, Lord, so that we can see you, and open our ears so that we can really hear you clearly, but most of all, open our hearts to receive you. And we thank you and we give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. So can I trust God is the big question. And not only can we trust God, but can we trust God with our disappointments? Now, Saints, I have to begin by confessing that when I thought about the part of that says disappointments, I said to Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby and Sylvia in our staff meeting, I said, we got to start the year off by talking about disappointments. Aren't we all supposed to be happy? Isn't this a fun time? But they quickly reminded me that many of us had a lot of holiday disappointments. Anybody out there with me today, was there something disappointing that happened on your holiday? Anybody not get the gift that they wanted? I mean, are you like me? You gave those hints all year long. And you kept telling them all year long that you wanted this certain item, and they got you everything but that certain item. Anybody was expecting a guest to come over? Were you expecting your kids to come or your parents to come? And for some unknown reason, they just weren't able to show up this year. Anybody disappointed in the guest that did arrive? Remember, we talked back around Thanksgiving. We knew they was coming. So we had some disappointments this holiday. Anybody had some disappointments with the meal? Whether you cooked it or not, you were really anticipating some great turkey or whatever it was, and it just didn't quite come out all right, Patricia. Terrence made his first sweet potato pie, Saints. It was real good, but I was asking, was it supposed to have lumps in it? It was real good. I ate it real fast, but I was just wondering. I was like, what's it supposed to add those lumps? So we had some few disappointments this holiday season. So we're going to begin this year by talking about what does it mean to trust God? And especially, what does it mean to trust God today with our disappointments? You see, at some time in all of our lives, we are all disappointed. Amen. Every single one of us encounters that day when something happened that we did not expect to happen. Something just did not go our way, and we had to stop and say, whoa, this wasn't the way it was supposed to be. And then we have those feelings of sadness and disappointment, and sometimes even anger with our disappointment. You see, the problem is, Saints, that disappointment never shows up by itself. Whenever disappointment comes, some other emotions come right along with it. And most of us can't even see down deep that reality we're feeling disappointment because it comes about with all of the anger and all of the yelling and all of the screaming that we sometimes mask our disappointment in. But disappointment shows up in all of our lives. I want you to read this Psalm 19, verse 116 with me. Sustain me according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Now, another way of saying that, Saints, is do not let my hopes be disappointed. Do not let my hopes go away. You see, Saints, what the real relationship is, that hope always comes along with disappointment. They go hand in hand. If we have a lot of hope, then our disappointment goes down. If we have a lot of disappointment, then our hope goes down. It's like they are on a scale, a measurement scale of hope and disappointment. There is this relationship that always exists between our hope and our disappointment. You see, saints, many of us would ask ourselves the question, does God really want me to be disappointed? Does God really want me to be upset? Does God want me to not like my life? Most of us would say no to that. We are in agreement that we all think that God wants us to be happy. Anybody here think God wants you to be happy today? We all think God wants every single part of our lives to go well. We like thinking like that. But reality, saints, is that God does not allow every single part of our lives to go well. We only have to live a few hours to figure that out. Look at a newborn baby. First thing, somebody slapping them and pinching them and poking them with needles. God allows disappointments in our lives. The problem is, saints, that when those disappointments come in, we as Christians begin to lose our hope. Our disappointment goes way up here, and our hope goes way down there. And you may ask yourself, if I'm a real Christian, if I truly believe in God, if I believe in the fact that he died on the cross for me, how can I, as a Christian, lose my hope? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's life. It's called life. It's real easy to lose our hope, saints, especially when we get so easily turned around by the world. My first disappointment of 2012, you know what that was? I was watching television last night. We was all waiting for that ball to drop, amen. Were you all woke with me? My kids were so loud I couldn't help but be woke. I tried to go to sleep, but they kept me woke. But saints, what I was watching on this TV was millions, hundreds of thousands of people all over the world, up and partying, hands lifted up high. They were having a great time, weren't they? And then I wondered, well, how many of them gonna go to church on Sunday morning? And when I faced my reality last night, I started being disappointed. I said, you know what, Lord, we probably won't see one of those people at that party that was at those party last night at Glenville this morning. I even sent out a text. I said, come to church. Some people texted me back and said, I won't be there. At least they were honest. Yeah. So, saints, the world can quickly cause us to lose our hope. When we're seeing so many bad things, every day we get up out of bed, something disappointing happens in our lives. You know, we go to our closet to get that outfit, and all of a sudden we see it's got a stain on it. We get disappointed. We go to that closet to get that outfit, and we put it on. We can't fit it anymore. I have that disappointment every time I go to my closet. We have that disappointment. We think way back to 2011. Remember January? We had all those hopes. We had all those resolutions. How many of us achieved our resolutions? Yep, I'm going to put my hand down too. We set out to stop smoking. Did anybody achieve that? Keon, all right, hope you weren't smoking. We set out to get our diets on track. Anybody get that one done? All right, a couple. We set out to eat healthier. Anybody start eating healthier? Okay, all right. Oh, look at that, see? Look at that, that's good. So some of us weren't that disappointed with last year. We set out to save more money. Anybody get that one accomplished? All right. We were trying to balance the budget. Did anybody balance the budget? We got some work to do, Glenville. Thank God for a new year. So we can quickly lose our hope, saints, because so many things that we expect to happen do not happen. Saints, tell your neighbor again. Neighbor, you're not the first one. You see, God gave us this wonderful word in this Bible that shows us that just about everybody listed in this book had some sort of disappointment. Isn't that interesting? Every single person in this book was disappointed, even God himself. I think about the story of Job. Here's this man, a righteous man, doing everything he's supposed to be doing. Then he loses all of his family. His wife says, curse God and die. He loses his animals. Then his body is afflicted. Talk about some disappointments. Amen. Then we can look at the women in the Bible who had a situation with kids. Most of us, when we're little girls, we grow up wanting to become mothers. Any of us play house? We like playing baby dolls and playing house. Well, we wanted to have kids when we were grown up, but these women, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, and Elizabeth, were all denied that privilege of becoming mothers when they desired to become mothers. Most of them became mothers, but they had to wait. Talk about some disappointments. I was thinking about the story of Mary. Here's Mary, this wonderful girl, young girl, who just could not wait to get married. Can you imagine? She had her dress all picked out, her hairstyle all ready to go. And then the Lord says to her, hold on a second. I need you to be pregnant with the baby Jesus first before you can do anything else. Mary excitedly ran to the opportunity, saints, but I had to wonder, was she ever disappointed? Was she ever disappointed in the fact that she could not have this traditional life, get married, have kids, and do everything what we call the simple way? Then we look at Tamar in the Bible. She was raped. Many of us have disappointments that go back so far, so deep, saints, because we are dealing with sexual abuse in our houses. This is a hard topic, and most of us don't want to talk about it. We don't want to think about it, and we definitely don't want to talk about it. But saints, until we take this stuff out of the dark and reveal it into the light and allow Jesus to begin to heal, these disappointments will remain with us every single day of our lives. And you see, saints, this situation with rape and sexual abuse, it's not just a female thing. Because our males are attacked just as much as our females. And again, we don't want to talk about it. We hide our heads in shame. But saints, none of us that experienced any type of sexual abuse or rape, it was not your fault. Tell your neighbor, it was not your fault. It's not your fault. You didn't expect it. God never wanted it for your life. Talk about another disappointment. Then we have all of these apostles. I just love that the Bible is full of people who went to jail. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes, saints, when we have a criminal past, when we have a little bit of a record in our background, we think that is it. There is no more hope in my life. I can't go on and get my graduation. I can't go on and get any kind of good job because of this record, this felony that I have in my life. But you see, saints, if you look at the Apostle Paul, he spent a great deal of time in jail. He could have said, I'm going to be disappointed and stay right here where I am. But he looked and saw the hope that he had in Christ. So I say to you all today, if you got a little bit of a record, don't let that keep you down. You may be disappointed today, but keep your hope in the Lord. Then we have Joseph. His brother sold him into slavery. How many of us are disappointed in the families we have? Okay, y'all don't want to be honest. Some of y'all are a little disappointed. You know, if you had got to pick, you know you would not have picked that to be your brother or your sister or your mother or your aunt. Some of us have been stabbed in the back by our brothers and our sisters, by our mothers and our fathers. That's part of the problem why we couldn't get along all during the holidays. Because we was remembering back in the day when you did such and such to me. And we ask ourselves the question, how could a member of my own family do that to me? How could somebody who loves me and cares for me do that to me? But you see, the Bible was full of examples of people who were betrayed by their own family. We also have these other examples of incest. I go back to this topic of incest because I'm always interested in the stories in the Bible that describes when a parent has sex with a child. And we don't often, again, we don't want to talk about this, saints, but talk about being disappointed in your mama or your daddy. When we truly were supposed to trust in you to take care of us. When we were truly supposed to trust in you not to use drugs and not to use alcohol and not to have us around situations and people that you knew were unhealthy for us. It's a disappointing part of our lives, saints, when we're born into this world and we cannot even control where we land. You see, all of us have some disappointments in this room. We're disappointed right now, and the reality is, saints, that when we look at disappointments, the reality is that something has happened in our lives that we just did not want to happen. I mean, how many of us wanted to have a car accident? How many of us wanted to get our money stolen? How many of us wanted our houses to get broken into? How many of us wanted to be betrayed by people that loved us? None of us wanted those things to happen, amen? Another reality about disappointments is that something that we really did want to happen didn't happen. You see, sometimes disappointments have nothing to do with the bad stuff. It can have something to do with the things we truly wanted. How many of us really want a job promotion in 2012? How many of us want a job in 2012? How many of us want a raise in 2012? How many of us want a new relationship in 2012? How many of us want to get some good grades and graduate in 2012? Anybody looking for some scholarships or something? We all want these things to happen. But saints, when they don't happen, we get so disappointed. And we think, God, why didn't you just let that happen for me? That was the perfect job. That was the perfect scholarship. Nobody qualified for that scholarship more than I did. That raise was certainly perfect for me. Whenever something disappointing happens in our lives, saints, our lives completely turn in a different direction. You see, had we got those promotions, had we got those jobs, we would have went in this direction. Some of us were applying for jobs that were out of state. Guess what? You get that job out of state, you have to move out of state. I already know why some of us not getting some jobs, because the Lord said, you need to be here at Glenville. Stop applying in California. It's not going to happen. We were looking to go to college, and we prayed so hard to get in that university, and the Lord just did not open that door for us. Some of us are disappointed because we have a job, but we hate the job. Anybody want to admit that? We won't put you on camera. Okay. It's hard to complain when you have something good in your life. It's hard to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm so glad I got this job, but I really don't like it very much. Because you see, we all realize that the jobs that we all have are a blessing. And the sources of income that we all have are a blessing. But the reality is, some of us don't like the jobs that we have to do. Ever watch that show, Dirty Jobs? I've been wondering about the people who clean the sewer system. I think I wouldn't like that job too well. It's some dirty jobs that we have to do. It's some jobs that require us to be up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, that don't allow us to have weekends off, or some jobs where we don't necessarily like our bosses or our coworkers. There's also some schools where we don't like our teachers. You see, saints, there are lots of disappointments in our lives. They're at school, they're at work, but again, they are in our relationships. And this is a hard one, saints, because we think that the people that we love are supposed to love us back and do the right thing. Read this scripture with me. I love it. I hate double-minded people, but I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. The words I underlined on that sermon outline, double-minded people, evildoers. Have you ever met somebody that they tell you one thing and then they go do exactly the exact opposite of what they told you? They tell you, I'm going to bring you over some money, and then they don't ever show up. They tell you, I got a gift for you, and then they don't never give you the gift. They tell you, I'm going to come help you out, and they don't ever show up. They talk with a forked tongue, and you can't even believe anything that they say. Then we have those evildoers, those people in our lives who just seem like they just enjoy doing bad stuff. Got some folks like that in your life. They just like breaking stuff. They just like tearing up everything that you own, but not the stuff that they own. They just like finding things that you got going wrong in your life, but they can never seem to find nothing wrong in their own lives. We have some disappointing relationships. And again, I said it before, the reality is life is not fair. Life is not fair. I want us to think way back to the day you were born. Did anybody put a sign on your head and tell you your life was going to be easy? Did anybody put a t-shirt on you that said, cute baby, never will have problems? As you grew up, did anybody separate you and say, oh, this is the special child. We're going to make sure that this person right here never has any complications, never has any disappointments. Who is that child? We really want to meet you today. Because what we all were born into was this unfair world. This unfair world full of disappointments. And we want to ask ourselves the question, why would God create an unfair world? Why would God allow this world to be? Sin. Sin, sin, sin. You see, we want to blame God on this unfair world without ever recognizing our own part in this unfair world. We want to blame all of our family members on their bad attitudes. And we still haven't checked our bad attitude. We want to blame them on all the times they let us down, but we don't ever look in the mirror and see how often we let other people down. This is an unfair world because we all exist in it and we're all sinful human beings. And if we really truly looked at what is at the root of all of our disappointments, saints, it's really us. Because along with being this sinful people that we are so selfish. Anybody willing to admit you're selfish today? We are all so selfish. We want it our way. You know, saints, I had a vision of what church would have been like this morning. All these seats should have been jam-packed full. We should have had so many people out in the parking lot that we still trying to get in the building. But you see, that was my vision. Wasn't necessarily what God wanted. I'm sure all of you, you had a vision for how your life was supposed to go up till now. You had a vision. You were supposed to have a certain job by now. You were supposed to have a certain type of degree by now. You were supposed to have completed your time in the NFL or the NBA right now. Some of us had some great visions for our lives. And guess what? They were really good visions. The problem was they were not God's vision. You see, when God says, I have a plan for your life, a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, a plan to give you a hope and a future. I don't remember any of those words saying, and it includes your vision and your plan. It's all about God's vision and God's plan for our lives. And if we would align ourselves to what God's plan is, saints, our disappointments will continue to go down and our hope will continue to rise. You see, we don't think that our disappointments serve any purpose. When we're disappointed, we go, woe is me. I'm so sad. We complain to the whole world about how bad our lives are. And we don't stop to think that our disappointments are serving a greater good. And you say, greater good? What greater good could my suffering result in? Let's look at this scripture together from Romans. We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And when we say again, our disappointments, our sufferings bring about nothing at all, we all should just take this scripture and hang it across our chest. And every time we're disappointed and sad and suffering and feeling low, we should be reminded that our suffering is producing what? And that perseverance helps us to start learning how to get the distance, how to go long ways. You see, saints, we only want to be disappointed for a little while. We want the disappointments to last about 2 seconds, and we had enough of that. Then we're ready for the real plan to show up. But God is saying sometimes you might be disappointed for an hour. Sometimes you might just be disappointed for the whole day. Check out, sometimes it might last to a week or a month or a few months or a year or a lot of years. You wonder right now how long you're going to have to keep dealing with that person you've been dealing with? Might be a few years. And God might be saying to you, how long am I going to have to keep dealing with you? How long am I going to have to keep being disappointed by you? Is it just a couple seconds? God is saying, I will wait eternity for all of you. So our suffering produces perseverance, and then our perseverance produces what?
Character.
That means we are somebody. We aren't just these immature people who think we know it all. That is a little bit of wisdom to us. And when someone comes along and asks us a little bit of advice, we actually got something to say to them. Somebody says, how do you deal with your husband when he's driving you crazy? You shouldn't go ask somebody that's just shacking up because they don't know. Don't go just ask that person who just got married, only been married a week. They really don't know either. Got to ask somebody who have endured, who has persevered, who has fought the fault and been married 20, 30, 40, 50 years. They might have a little character in their marriage. You want to talk to somebody about how to get through school or how to get a job. Don't go ask the people who's sitting out on the corner doing nothing. Isn't that interesting? You want to go to college, but you're hanging out with drug dealers trying to get advice. You want to go to the military, but you're on a street corner with the winos trying to figure out how I'm going to get in shape so I can get to the military. We hang around people we want to be like, saints. And I know some of you will come, you're going to push back on me and say, but Pastor Kelly, Jesus went to the ones that was in the bars and all of that stuff. I got you on that. He did. He did, and he drew them out of the bars. He didn't stay in there with them, saints. So if you're going in to draw out, and I mean immediately draw out, I can work with you on that. But But if you go on in becoming of their character, then once again, we are disappointing God and disappointing ourselves and disappointing our families. So we want to become people of Christ. We want to be somebody. We want to have character because our suffering produced that perseverance, and the perseverance produces character, and the character produces what?
Hope.
You see, saints, many of us wonder, why is our hope failing, saints? Because we don't want to struggle. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to be refined to become the people who understand what hope truly means. You see, if we go on and read this, it says, hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. And when we're talking about, can we trust God with our disappointments? The only way we can trust God with our disappointments is to have the hope of Jesus Christ, to have the hope of the Holy Spirit that God has poured upon all of us. You see, we get so set on our circumstances. Many of us already thinking about what we're going to do when we get out of here. Pastor Kelly, would you please be quiet? Because I got other things to do. We are so focused on every other thing but God. Just like when all those people were partying last night. Focused on every other thing but God. We set our hearts on people. We trust that they're going to do the things that they said they were going to do. We trust, we put our heart in circumstances. We pray for those jobs, those school opportunities, and then we put our hearts in material. How many of us got a new iPad, iPhone, iPhone, tablet, whatever you got this Christmas? And we think that that material item is going to change our lives. And God is saying, I need you all to have complete dependence on me, to trust completely on me, especially when life gives you all the disappointments that you're going to get. You see, we all have heard it. We all have said it. It's easy to trust God when everything is going well. The true test of our character, the true test of our perseverance, the true test of our hope is, can we trust God when we are disappointed? You see, saints, that's where I get excited at now. I think Satan has even learned that about me. Because when my hard days get to coming, I start thinking, Lord Jesus, you about to show up and you about to show out. I don't start thinking, oh, woe is me. How could this happen to me? I start looking around. God, what are you going to do now? Because I know you're about to do something. And you see, I'm encouraging all of us because already I'm not some kind of psychic. I don't have a ball that I can look in and see your future. But I already know that all of us will have some disappointments in 2012. Can I get an amen? Every single one of us will be let down. Say, I will be let down. We are all getting prepared today because we know that the disappointments will come. Now, what are we going to do about it? We are going to have hope in Jesus Christ. So when those disappointments come our way, we start saying, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, God. I know you're here with me, saints. You see, when we last month, at the beginning of December, we thought we did not have enough money to continue as a church. And I know I remember sitting in that session meeting, I was feeling a little disappointed. I was feeling a little discouraged. And then I also remember God said, trust me and I will show you. And so I remember us at session saying, you know what, we're not about to give up right now. We're about to go to the people of God. We're going to explain the situation. Then we're going to stand back and we're going to watch what God is about to do. If you never saw a miracle before in your life, you saw one this month at Glenville. Matter of fact, you saw more than one this month at Glenville. You saw a lot of miracles. I remember Sylvia's brother was counted out for dead, and now he is still alive. Many of us, we just did not have the money, saints. We did not have the money. And not only, saints, did you give us as your pastor's gifts, you dug deep, gave us gifts. We gave you some gifts back in return, saints. But then all of us rallied together to erase this deficit. And we have had the highest earning month ever. Look at God. Look at God. When we were disappointed, saints, you wonder how does God work? He starts showing us you don't need to be disappointed. You can trust in me. You can depend on me to do what I promised you that I would do. Now, I remember standing up here praying that day. Pastor Rick preached that sermon about not having the money. And I remember praying, God, please bless all of us, that whatever money would come our way, we would turn it right in toward that deficit. And guess what we all did? Some of us got some blessings, amen. Some of us turned it right on in to God. You see, we were able to see that we can trust in God. We can trust God when we're disappointed. And I know already many of us are thinking, I gave my money, but I didn't see it return in my life. And you're starting to be disappointed because you were faithful. You were faithful in your giving. You were faithful in your attendance. You were faithful in your prayer. You've been faithful in your Bible study. And you're still wondering, Lord, do you have a blessing for me? Do you have a promise for me? I want you to start backing up. Stand back so you can give God some room. So we can all see what God is about to do in your life. You see, 2012 is a new year. We cannot go back. We can regret what we did. We can praise God for the things we did, but we cannot go back. All we can do is walk forward in this new year and learning to really trust God, to trust that God has a plan for all of our futures, that God says, I have a plan for you that's specific to you. And I know you think you have a vision for your life, but my plan is much better than your plan could ever be. Do we trust today that God has a plan for our families? I know, saints, most of us struggling. We going home today and we going to have another argument today. Some of us still working on those dishes. I got a pile of dishes I got to confess, saints. We wondering, is it ever going to change in my house? But can we trust that God truly has a plan for your family? That God didn't want you to be in a family of a lot of drama and a lot of tears and a lot of hurt and a lot of heartache. God wants you to be in a family of love and caring. Can we trust that God has a plan for this community? I thought about it, saints. We have gone 20 years deep or more with drugs taking hold of Cleveland. And most of us can remember back in the day when there were no drug dealers standing on the corners of our community. And all of us went to school and were proud to go to school, and we didn't have our young people gangbanging and killing each other at school. And we could stop to think, this is all there ever will be. But God is saying, can you trust that I have a plan for this community? That plan involves you. If you don't get up and get out into the world, then my plan cannot be as it was supposed to be. Can we trust that God has a plan for this world? You see, already in 2012, I've been seeing it all over the place. My daughter, my 9-year-old daughter and I, we laugh about it, but that Mayan prophecy has already been predicted, saints. I know you heard about it. The world's supposed to end next December. And I want to be the first one to say in 2012, no, it won't. God said, none of us know the date nor the time. And he said, I will come back like a thief in the night. And he will not leave one of us on this earth that he has called by his own. So I trust that God has a plan for this world, but we have to lift our voices up high and shout that plan louder than any prophecies, louder than any predictions. And when people are saying, oh, the world's going to end, yeah, in God's time and God's way, but not in man's or woman's way. So So my final question to all of us is, what can you trust for God in 2012? What do you hope to see in your life in 2012? And I know many of us are quick to start writing down, you're getting rid of cigarettes, you're going back on your diet, you're getting that exercise back in gear. But I want us to put those things to the side. And I want us to think about our spirit. What can you trust God to do in you in 2012? On a deeper spiritual level, in your mind, in your body, in your soul, that will produce that character, that perseverance, and that hope. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, you are so amazing, so mighty, so awesome. And many of us have had many disappointments this past year in 2011. Many of us saw people in our lives pass away, and we saw many people hurt, or we saw ourselves hurt, Lord Jesus, or we lost opportunities, we lost jobs, and things didn't happen the way we wanted them to happen at school or in our families or at church. We've had some disappointing times. But gracious God, we give you all the praise that in you we can put all of our hope. In you we can put all of our trust. And in you, Lord, we can continue to walk ahead in 2012 and look forward to all that you have in store for us. And we give you all the praise. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. People of God said, amen and amen. Praise God, saints.